That was Memory Strains by China Blue mm-hmm. from Under Voices. And this piece sounds like now mixing with some voices. Are those voices that you recorded with the binaurals on the tower, or are these other types of voices as well? Or
Yes, actually that particular one that said, holy crumb,
yeah.
is indeed from one of the binaural recordings, and we were at the very top of the Eiffel Tower, and there was this big group of kids that came to the top, and I happened to be standing at the stairwell. There's a stairwell mm-hmm. that goes from the internal aspects of the Eiffel Tower to the external ones, where you can get out onto a little walking area to be outside, and the kids mm-hmm. came spewing out, and as they came out, there was all these comments like, holy crumb, Eiffel Tower, we're really here. Oh, my gosh, it's so beautiful. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so cute to hear these little kids come running out.
And why the title Memory Strains? What were you thinking about when you were making this?
Well, actually, what I was thinking about is from the viewpoint of the elevator operators.
Mm.
And as the elevators move up and down the tower throughout the day, the operators are there day in and day out listening mm-hmm. to the conversations of the people that as they come in, as they stand in the elevators, as they anticipate arrival, as mm-hmm. as they anticipate or after their experiences of being on the top and leaving. And mm-hmm. there's a combination of elements that go into play from the viewpoint of the operator, which is that particular acoustic viewpoint, as well as their sense of memory as time goes by, because that is their job that they do day in and day out.
Right.
And for them, that's their focal point, and then time goes by. Excuse me. And so in addition to that, there are all additional acoustic fragments of historical pieces that pan from in a vertical motion to mimic the movement of the elevator going up and down.
Uh-huh. And what were the historical pieces that you used in that, or for example?
Well, I used works, again, by Edith Piaf, mm-hmm. Marie Chevalier, and other artists who are identified with classic French music.
Mm. That is so wonderful. Okay, the next piece, this is track 6 from Under Voices by China Blue, and it's called Iron Rhythms. Thank you. China Blue from Under Voices, and we're here talking to the artist over the phone lines. And what are those rhythms that we're hearing?
They're based on the machine room, as we discussed earlier.
Ah, okay.
That all this
Beautiful.
Particular piece is based on all of the recordings that we had done in the sub basement, and it's. I think it's a very quirky kind of piece. It's kind of, the rhythms are kind of really sort of bizarre in their mechanical sense.
Yeah,
but
very much. Although it doesn't sound like machines necessarily to me. I was sort of thinking about the people that you see on the subway playing the trash cans and the buckets. That's kind of what that made me think of. About in the rhythms. Doesn't sound machine-like, you know, it sounds almost human.
Right. I can see how you would think that. Well, I tried to give it a little bit of a rhythmic aspect without deviating too far from the machine mechanical aspect. But it's, what we did was we were able to capture the sound of the chariots, which is this big machine that moves horizontally from left to right, and it makes this loud slamming sound, and it moves back again, and then some of the other sounds in the machine room were the humming and the motors constantly moving in the background, and that was the focus of this particular piece, to just be able to capture some of all of this that goes on in the underbelly of the Eiffel Tower. It's just an enormous physical effort that supports this very airy structure.
Yeah, it's so fascinating and so amazing that you were able to get into these kind of lesser known areas. It's pretty fascinating. So we can play the last piece on Under Voices, and this piece is called The Woeful Tale of Jack the Snail. We'll be right back.
orage. Les lumières de Paris se reflétaient dans la nuit, comme l'écho d'amis morts depuis longtemps. Tu devrais avoir peur, disait-il. Tu devrais avoir peur. Ne passe pas cette porte. Ne passe pas cette porte. Moment sous la tour, Jack l'escargot faisait ses projets pour les âmes qui allaient aligner leur destin dans le soleil clair du petit matin, ne suspectant pas ce qui les attendait. Ne suspectant. Ne passe pas cette porte. Étincelant. Alors que la première victime de Jack l'escargot arrive. Depuis la grande tour, elle saute. Ah, dit-elle. Et écrase Jack l'escargot sous ses beaux talons aiguilles. Passe pas cette porte, Jack. Passe pas cette porte. Désolé. Vraiment. Ne passe pas cette porte. Ne passe pas cette porte.
China Blues Under Voices. Now that piece is pretty different than the other pieces on the CD. What's going on there?
Oh, it's so completely different. This piece, that's because this piece is not by me.
Oh, okay.
What I did was I gave some of the raw files to this friend of mine, Lance Massey, who is the creator of the T-Mobile ringtone. And, and I said, well, you know, I want people to play with these raw files. I want to have other people do stuff with it besides just myself, and I want to encourage people to just play with it. You want to do that? And he says,
right.
Sure, I'll make a piece. And so he made this piece.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's sort of Tom Waits in style in some cases. He wrote this story about Jack the Snail and what happens to him, and it's a very dark story, and it has this a woman who is speaking some of the parts that it was translated in French, so it would have this French character to it, and it's just a really great pop piece because he's a pop kind of guy.
Right, and so the sounds that he heard of the tower inspired him to write this whole lyric and this whole kind of pop piece of music. It's amazing.
Well, you can hear it in the very beginning as the piece starts up. That's some of the raw material that he incorporated, and then he added on everything else on top of it. But he used that as sort of the understructure of the work.
And how much raw material did you actually end up with? You had seven people recording for all day, basically, so you had...
Well, we had... Well, actually, we had four recording devices and numbers of hours.
Well,
numbers of hours. When we were actually recording, I'd say we'd probably have at least 10 hours of recording material?
Well, I can't say enough about how wonderful this piece is. How can people obtain this from your website?
Yeah, they can go to my website at www.chinablueart.com, and if you go to the shop page, you can get the description of the CD and the thumb drive. The thumb drive is the one that has the raw files available for people to experiment with. And with the raw files comes an invitation to participate in the next CD.
And have you gotten a response yet of people remixing some of these files?
Well, we already have Lance Massey.
And yes,
I have a number of other people who are experimenting. Everybody is enjoying the fact that they have this material available.
You're still open to the possibility that maybe some of the listeners to Giant Ear might be inspired and get a thumb drive and try it and submit some mixes to you as well. Are there any?
I would love them to. It would be really exciting.
I think it's really inspiring. And are there certain guidelines that you would like people to go by, a certain length, or just you're keeping it open to whatever people are inspired?
I'm just going to keep it open to whatever people want to do. I think just based on the practical limits of a CD, you know, a long piece would not work as well. But other than that, whatever anybody wants to do, you know, it's exciting for me, and I would like to share this material with everybody. It's unique and interesting, and I'm excited to hear whatever other people would like to do with it.
Cool. Well, you know, talking to you about this project, it has been something that's kind of been in the back of my head, and I think this ties into what a lot of people involved in phonography and acoustic ecology kind of not struggle with, but sort of. I think we think about what is it actually that we're doing, and I'm just curious from you, like, do you define yourself as a composer, or how do you define what it is that you do? You're kind of a conceptual artist, or how do you like to describe that? Because that's always a problem, you know, right?
Well, I've always resolved that problem by trying not to deal with it.
Right.
and
just.
For your listeners' information, I come to this work from the viewpoint of a visual artist, and I have sort of backed into an arena that I didn't know existed until I started doing this kind of work. But I guess one could say that I'm approaching this from a viewpoint of a conceptual artist. But what kept me riveted on this particular project, besides all the other aspects that are so exciting about it, was how to resolve this particular aspect of combining the social and the physical sonic characteristics. And, you know, it made me realize that these things are operating in conjunction, and they're operating simultaneously in the world that we live in. And I just realized that it creates a new phenomenon that is the sum of these two elements, and it is, you know, somehow it sums up the physical, the social, the psychoacoustics, and it extends how we perceive the world around us, and it gave me a new way of looking at my world. So I find it, you know, sort of from a perceptual viewpoint, beyond the issues of the technical and the social, it gives us another way of literally, you know, seeing the world, which is, I think, really, really fascinating.
Do you think this idea of the combining of the social and the physical aspects of the sonic world is really fascinating? And I wonder if you... Do you think that there's a relationship between the things that have been happening in technology, specifically media technology and communications technology, and you know, your ability and other artists' ability to express this idea or observe this phenomenon, or do you think technology plays a role?
Well, it certainly did with my work. To have a portable digital deck with me that was within a financial frame that was possible is very, very recent. And, I mean, recent, like in the last few years, recent.
Sure.
And being able to combine the scientific aspects to to wire them up and to be able to assemble everything in the right manner was you know, basically a technical feat. But in terms of new technologies, I would say that, you know, that the Zoom really helped enormously. In the past, I mean, we could have gone with a DAT system, but until very recently, they've been rather expensive, and when you have to buy four of them, they become pretty costly. And so that helped enormously. On the recording side, it's being able to bring them into a computer. Having computers available to be able to mix them has enabled me to work a lot more fluidly than if I were to work in an analog system and to manage all this particular material. It would have taken, I'm sure, a lot longer to work on an analog method.
And
so,
now to be able to share these, you know, these raw files through the internet is, you know, another kind of huge change that's happened.
On a thumb drive. I mean, it's just it's a little tiny thing. It weighs nothing.
Stick the Apple Power in your pocket. So you've just closed an exhibition here in New York, the Aqua Alta piece.
Yes.
Yes.
I was so excited.
Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
I would be happy to tell you about it. let's see, if I can backtrack a little tiny bit. The Aqua Alta piece was a piece that I did. I was invited to participate in the Venice a festival called Open 11 that was held in San Servolo, which is one of the islands in Venice, over the summertime. And this was held in conjunction with the Architectural Biennale in Venice. And I was invited to do a piece which was based on the recordings of Venice from the viewpoint of the gondolas. And so I used actually a similar system that we just discussed for this to create this particular piece. And what I did was I basically recorded from as the gondola would be floating down through the canals. I was recording both from a binaural viewpoint as well as with the subsonic recording devices.
And these were kind of attached to the sides of the gondola, or how did you?
Yes, they were attached to the base, to the floor of the gondola.
Wow. Wow. Well, Venice, I think, is completely underwater right now, huh? Have you seen?
It's so tragic.
Yeah,
it's
really, really amazing.
In some areas, the last I was paying attention to it, in some areas it was up to your neck in height.
Wow. And was there a lot of concern about that when you were over there recording? Or, I mean, I guess it's been a concern for a long time.
Well, it is an ongoing concern mm-hmm. of Venice, ever since, actually, since Venice was built.
Right.
But more recently, it's become more and more of a problem because of the ecology issues. And mm-hmm. And more often, Venice is now being flooded, and actually it happens pretty frequently about this time of year. But this particular year, it was exceedingly high.
I've never seen anything like it. It's amazing.
It's frighteningly sad. Yeah. And that's why I wanted to do Aqua Alta. I wanted to point to the issues that were occurring in Venice. And with Venice, you know, it's totally surrounded in water. And water is sort of the focus of Venice. You know, it's every day and every night you hear the sound of the water splashing on the stairs and lapping into the doorways.
Right.
And if you're in the gondolas, you hear the water against the gunnels of the gondola. And wherever you go, all you hear is the water. It's sort of like a background noise. It's constantly there. It's really beautiful. And it makes you feel so much at peace because it's so calming. And yet you also have the oppositional aspect, which is also, you know, it's
dangerous.
It's a source of really, really serious problems there.
Yeah.
So
it's basically eroding away all the architecture there.
Yes, and the art. And the art.
And so how was Aqua Alta presented then in the gallery settings that it's been shown in?
Well, what I presented it in Open 11 during the summertime, and then I was excited about being invited to present it again in New York. And what I did was I showed it in a 5.1 surround sound acoustic experience. And basically the idea was to give the listener an impression of being completely enveloped in water. And so again, I combined the same kinds of sound sources with the sounds of the water, the sounds of the recordings from the gondolas, as well as the binaural recordings. And the really, really interesting part was with the subsonic recordings that we were doing, they acted as little antennas. So every once in a while I would pick up a radio station.
Oh, that's so great.
So I'd have like little bits of radio songs and radio chatter that would like pop in and pop out.
Transmitted somehow through the water.
Or through the lines.
Yeah, wow. And this is a selection from Aqua Alta by China Blue.
Thank you.
Listening to Giant Ear, and that was Aqua Alta by China Blue, one of her most recent recordings. And China, will this be available to people in a CD form, or?
I hope to have it very soon available.
Great.
And, watch my website.
Okay, ChinaBlueArt.com. And
okay. It's me again, Johnny, your meta host, as I told you at the top of the show. I just wanted to interject something here about the Aqua Alta piece that China Blue sent to me, and I told her I would read this in relation to the piece that you just heard, Aqua Alta. So I'm going to read that, and then we're going to go back to another section of the interview that happened toward the end, and we kind of circled back to talking about the Eiffel Tower again. And when I say we, mainly I'm referring to China and Andrea, of course, as I was listening in on the call mainly. Here, let me read this bit about Aqua Alta to you. The sound of Venice is water. Every minute of every day and every night, the sound of water is splashing on the stairs, lapping at the doorways, and rising in waves as gondolas breeze across it. From the founding of Venice to the present day, water is the source of transportation, a symbol of romance, and the element that made Venice a major maritime power and a significant trading port. Water is also its problem. Global warming has induced changes to the aquatic environment, causing the waters to swell, filling the piazzas and buildings, and threatening the daily life and culture of Venice. The sound installation, Aqua Alta, is a study of Venice's dependence on and the threat of water. Aqua Alta submerges the listener in the sounds and the effect of the water on Venice. What is heard are the sounds from the water's edge and underwater recordings, the structural creaks of the gondolas, and sounds of water flowing around and under them as they float through the lagoon, splashes and deep wave sounds of water lapping on the buildings and stairways at the water's edge, and the sounds of the sea life are also heard. The soundtracks of both above and below the waterline are post-processed to create the sense of rising and falling of the sound field, thus mimicking both the natural effects of the tides and overall the slow envelopment of the sounds in air by the aquatic acoustics as the waters rise to represent the dangers to Venice of global warming-induced changes to the aquatic environment. So now let's just go back to the interview about the Eiffel Tower for a few more minutes, and then I'm going to come back and play and talk to you a little bit about one other piece that China sent.
You know, it's really hard for me to believe that it was really just a two-year process, because what has come out of it, I mean, just getting the permissions and then, you know, doing these mixes. The mixes are so beautiful, and with the archival historical research that you did, it's incredible.
Oh, well, thank you. Actually, it was even less than that.
Wow. Yeah, because you just came up with the idea, and then it was a matter of figuring out. That's it. That's an intense process.
Yeah, we recorded in September of 2007. So,
wow.
And I got the authorization, I think, in the springtime.
Mm-hmm.
So I just spent the summer trying to figure out, you know, all the equipment and when I would go and that sort of thing, and then going, and then of course after that, that's when it really became intensive. But I did most of the body of, actually, now that I think about it, the body of the mixes were done probably within 3 or 4 months. Yeah, it took me about 3 or 4 months to do them.
Wow. What, and knowing exactly what you wanted, or kind of?
No.
That is really...
No, it was, that part was very difficult because I'd never done anything like this on this scale with the goal of having, you know, like a number of pieces, and with the idea of having a cohesive CD.
Right.
And my approach in the past has always been to not to do as much mixing and just to keep it a lot more raw.
Mm-hmm.
So it, in terms of creating pieces, I wanted them to have content to them, and to have a conceptual underpinning.
That
was critical for me to make more than one. You know, if you have just one thing and you just say, okay, this is it, that's easier,
right.
Certainly easier than, you know, creating this, like the crypto keys, you know, creating this conceptual underpinning and then trying to develop an acoustic piece that sort of articulates it.
Yeah, well, there's so many perspectives and you know, angles on this, you know, fantastic historical landmark. You know, it's really an international landmark. It's, you know, known around the world, and so there's so many elements. I think it'd be, you know, you have to address it, and it seems, from a number of different perspectives. Yeah.
Yes, I agree with you completely on that.
So, okay, so I guess we can wrap it up, and China, let you get back to your holiday celebrations. Are you literally snowed in, like, can't get the car out of the driveway? Or are you able to get, you know, milk and eggs and stuff like that?
Well, we're pretty stocked on the milk and eggs, fortunately. But,
you prepared. Wow.
I try and anticipate those problems because I don't like to have them.
Right.
And if you wake up in the morning and you see piles of snow, you know, we have, I don't know, a foot of snow now. It's just like, okay, we can go back to sleep. I don't have to do anything.
Thank you so much for doing this.
I'm so excited about it.
I can't tell you how exciting it is. Great. Okay, well, I'm going to run.
Okay,
thanks so much, Andrea.
Thanks again, China. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
and
China.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Okay, I have one more piece from China Blue to play for you. It's called The Calls from 2007, and it is a piece based on the World Trade Center, and specifically the World Trade Center tragedy that happened on 9/11/2001. And she sent a short paragraph here describing the piece, and I will read it for you. The Call's 2007. This sound piece is an ode to the World Trade Center. It is based on air traffic controller recordings from the jets just prior to the impact, and statistics about the World Trade Center converted into dial tones. Forming the overlying sound structure, the tones are all derived from available statistics about the World Trade Center, such as how tall it was, how much it cost to build, how many square feet of office space was available per floor, how many underground levels there were, the numbers of floors on the sky lobbies, when it was hit, how many people died, as well as other statistical information. And dial tones are central to the work and to the moment, because the cell phones really were the only mode of communication available during the search and recover phase, and thus highlighting the breakdown of communication. So here's The Calls by China Blue on the Giant Ear Show.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Giant Ear Show on free103.9.org. The Giant Ear Show is a production of the New York Society for Acoustic Ecology. And this evening, you've been listening to a wonderful interview with artist China Blue, conducted by Andrea Poli, who is the co-chair of the New York Society for Acoustic Ecology, along with me, Johnny Farrow, your meta host. I hope you enjoyed the show this evening as much as I did. And we'll have some new material for you in January. And also, February is going to be an exciting Giant Ear show as well. We have asked the Bay Area Sound Ecology Group to put together a show for us, and they were kind enough to agree. So we're very much anticipating getting our ears around that one. So stay tuned for that to hit Free 103 and your head in February. I would encourage you to visit the free103.9.org website to check out and to purchase the Giant Ear CD that was just released this fall. That is a compilation of Giant Ear contributors from the first 2 years of the show. It's a wonderful disc, so you should check it out. And by doing so, you support the New York Society for Acoustic Ecology, as well as supporting Free 103. And those are both good things to do. Don't forget to visit, for more information about China Blue and her work, don't forget to visit China Blue's website, chinablueart.com. And if you feel like it, you can hit my site too, johnnyfarrow.net, johnnyfarrow.net. And last but not least, most certainly you should visit the New York Acoustic Ecology website, nyacousticecology.org. I want to thank China Blue. And I would like to thank Andrea Poli. And I will thank myself right now by signing off. So all this talk of Paris has made me crave a little Edith Piaf. So as opposed to Edith Pilaf, which is a vaudeville dish. Anyway, I will close the show with a little Edith Piaf.
Des yeux qui font baisser les miens, un rire qui se perd sur sa bouche, voilà le portrait sans retouche de l'homme auquel j'appartiens. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, et ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. C'est lui pour moi, moi pour lui dans la vie. Il me l'a dit, l'a juré pour la vie. Et dès que je l'aperçois, alors je...
This has been the Giant Ear Show for December 2008.